Ty, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you on the show. Finally, I know we've been going back and forth trying to get a time set up, but I appreciate you being able to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg. Absolute pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Let's go back to the origin story. And I want to start with your sister and how she helped you maybe to get interested in this field and how you landed on being a specialist in communication.
Definitely. So as a communication coach, I sometimes ask people how they would rate their own communication skills from 1 to 10. If you had asked me growing up, I would have said -1. And part of that was, I love my sister to death, not putting any blame on her. She would actually jump in and answer questions for me growing up. So I was kind of the kid that sat behind in the background, didn't really have to speak. And so anytime somebody asked Ty anything, there was his dear sister jumping in and taking off all the pressure. I grew up that way, and I actually was really much a natural introvert. I liked avoiding people. I didn't really like speaking. So I secretly enjoyed having all the spotlight on her. So of course, you're a kid, that's fine. But when you enter the professional world as an adult, oh, it's like, where's my sister answering these questions in this job interview? Now, there's so much expected of me. Oh, I have a real job. I need to be able to speak confidently, clearly. I need to not come across as nervous or unsure of myself. And so I got a very rude awakening after college when I entered the professional world, now noticing, oh, I am so terrible at this. And I'm not just writing tests and talking to my couple friends. The only job I could get out of college was actually in sales. Very important that a person knows how to communicate. So that's really what sparked what I would call an obsession for communication, more so out of necessity than anything else. And then my life just really took off eventually after really diving into those skills for so many years. And that's how I got to where I am today.
That's awesome. What do you think some of the skills were that made the difference and shifted you into that exponential growth phase? Like, what specifically did you work on that enabled you to make that get into that growth phase?
I think the first thing that made the biggest difference that actually a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to communication is being able to get over the nerves, some of the anxiousness, and really the state that you're in before a situation, right? So even if you're an exceptional speaker, if you're entering a meeting or a conversation and you're unsure of yourself, you're overthinking, and you're so focused on yourself, you're not really going to show up and speak the way that you want to. So the very first thing I did was actually learn how to calm those nerves, build up my confidence. Greg, there was a time where before meetings, I would actually throw up. I'd be so anxious beforehand. These weren't even meetings that I was expected to speak in. It was just the thought of potentially getting called on that made me so anxious. And so the very first thing I did was really learning tools so that I could at least approach these situations feeling normal enough to then practice the speaking, the body language, all of the vocal techniques that I was learning.
Isn't it interesting that your mindset before the event is what enabled you to actually make that fundamental shift? It's fascinating, right? It's not even the practices of the vocals, although that matters. It's actually just putting yourself in a state where you can communicate. That's actually mind, not voice, almost.
It's a really good point. And people are always asking first for things like the perfect script. I want the exact phrases to say, or the exact way to use my voice. And yes, that stuff's super valuable. But think about it this way. If you know all those things, but you're not showing up with that level of confidence, you're not comfortable, you're not going to be able to actually perform. Now think about speaking to your best friend, a family member, whoever it might be. You're probably a much better communicator than you are when you're in a meeting with your boss, or you're talking to an important prospect. More high-pressure situation. So if you're a much better speaker in one situation versus the other, the only difference there is your state of mind between those two. So you can actually make yourself a much better communicator by optimizing that state, which a lot of people don't think about.
When it comes to calmness and confidence and optimizing your state, what are some things that we can do? And obviously being calm is very different from being confident. So maybe we can attack those separately or explore those separately. But what can we do to calm our nerves before an important meeting, presentation, event, call, discussion that may be tense or difficult or anxiety provoking or challenging?
Such a good question. I've been focusing on this for the past decade here, and something that I came up with, it's actually a really quick little four-step process. We've heard of all these four steps before. I just found this was the quickest, most effective way of putting them together. So it's an acronym, and I'll go through each one. It's S-B-B-S. So the first S is straight. So this is just simply sitting up straight. There's a huge connection between our body language and our emotions. Yeah, I know we're both making sure we're sitting up straight now on camera. Every time I say that, people are always adjusting their posture immediately. Huge connection between body language and emotional state. So easy example of this, you can actually just Google happy person, Google sad person, Google confident person, Google shy person. You'll see on Google images, there's massive differences. The happy, the confident person, they're very upright, they're sitting up straight, their head's up, very open body language, whereas a sad or anxious or less confident person, right, they're kind of hunched forward, they're closed off, their head's down. So we can actually reverse engineer the way that we feel with that body language. So simply sitting up straight, again, head up, shoulders down and back, that's the first step. You're not going to feel good if you're slouching and you're trying to be confident or relaxed. That's the first S. Second B is breathe. That's no surprise, but it's a very specific type of breathing. Okay, so this comes from Andrew Huberman. We've probably all heard of Andrew Huberman by now. We haven't, big Stanford neuroscientist, has a massive podcast right now. So he talks about something called the physiological sigh. So it's been proven this is the fastest way to shift your state of mind from that anxious, that nervous fight or flight state to the calm, relaxed, rest and digest state. Physiological sigh is a double inhale through the nose, single exhale through the mouth. So it's one long inhale through the nose, followed by one little short inhale through the nose just to try to get a little bit more air, and then a long exhale through the mouth. The science shows we only need two of those to make that shift in our state. So we're sitting up straight. We do two physiological sighs. That's our S and our B. And then the V is visualize. So we've heard of this before too. I tell people to visualize something that brings them joy. That's really going to help boost their mood, elevate the way that they feel. So I actually have a video about this I made recently. I like to look up dogs with sunglasses. It makes me laugh, makes me smile every time. I can't not be in a good mood looking at dogs with sunglasses. Some people like to think of their own pets, their kids. As long as your kids don't stress you out, then don't think of your kids. Could be a vacation spot, anything like that. Something that makes you feel really good and brings you joy. So think about that while you're sitting up straight, while you're doing your breaths. We've got our straight, breathe, visualize, and then we end in a cheesy smile. Smile is the fourth S. So much research behind this, really easy, really powerful. Dopamine, serotonin release when we smile. We shouldn't have to fake a smile because we're thinking of something that brings us joy. All right, so even if you have to force it, again, the science does actually show even if you have to fake it at first, it still does work, becomes more of a natural feeling the more you smile. But because we're thinking of something so positive, it should be normal. So straight, breathe, visualize, smile. S-B-V-S. Takes about 20 seconds total.
I really do also love the visualizing joy, right? Like just something to make you laugh and bring that little, you know, smile or nudge that corner of your cheek. I think that's pretty cool. What about confidence? What if we're walking in and we're not quite sure if we've got it or not, but you know, like really important thing, we need to get this done. We need to achieve this thing. We need to convey our ideas. How do we have that confidence to be able to portray that energy that we need to hopefully bring people along for the ride?
Definitely. So the body language is a big part of that. If you're walking into the room, make sure you're following the same tips we just talked about with sitting up straight, shoulders down and back. Keep your hands out in the open, right? No hands in the pockets, none of that. So you can walk in like you own the room, number one. If confidence is a big thing, you can also visualize yourself as part of the V, excelling in the moment. So if you're thinking about something that brings you joy, you can also think about you actually going through that situation and just crushing it. You did an exceptional job. Now, a perspective to have that worked with many hundreds of clients now, over 300 communication clients to this day, and what I found works surprisingly well to take the pressure off and help people feel more confident is just viewing all of these situations like practice. We might have heard this before, but this works so well because oftentimes we're not confident because we're worried about messing up and all of the negative repercussions, the consequences that might come from us saying something silly or stuttering, mumbling, things like that. Actually, just viewing it as practice, chances are what you're not going into is game seven of the finals. Chances are it's really just a situation that in the grand scheme of your life is just you practicing to be the best version of yourself.
Right.
So going into that situation, and it sounds challenging. How do I view this as practice? But truly, you can view it as, okay, this isn't actually a performance. I'm just going here to, let's say, work on my speaking skills, work on how I show up in meetings. That works surprisingly well.
It's interesting too, because it shifts it from outcome to process, right? You're not thinking, I mean, maybe you want to visualize the positive outcome, but you're really visualizing you doing well, you doing your best, you in the zone, and that attention being directed towards the process and the fact that it is a practice, and maybe we're not winning the gold medal at the Olympics this afternoon. That takes that little edge of pressure off and allows you to remove that tension so that you can access the energy you need to be able to perform. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you nailed it.
Once we have that calm, once we've got the confidence, what would the next step be in terms of a practice for effective communication in an era specifically when there's so many challenges in the world and polarization is a significant issue, and yet we're trying to build bridges. We're trying to find commonalities. We're trying to bring people towards a better place. What are your thoughts about how we can do that in this era when communication is very, very difficult in some cases?
Ooh, this is a really powerful question. I'm glad you asked this. There's not nearly enough time spent in communication trying to understand the other person, right? We're, especially when there's a disagreeing sides, we're really just trying to dump all of our points on the other person, wait for them to say something, then keep dumping our points in the hopes that we'll sway each other. And this just does not work. Going into the conversation with an intention of trying to understand a little bit more. So a practice that helps you and kind of forces you to do this is paraphrasing. So essentially trying to repeat back what you believe the other person said. So an easy way to frame this is to say, okay, it sounds like you think this, or it seems like you're saying this. If you go into these conversations being like, okay, I'm going to try my best to paraphrase what they say before responding, it actually forces you to listen a lot better too. Because a big problem too is just we're not listening well enough. We're not trying to understand because we're so heated. We're so passionate about our side of the point. We really want to convince them that we're not listening. We're not trying to understand. So going into it with that frame, okay, I'm going to try to say it sounds like, and then repeat back to them what I think they said. This is also helpful because we're sometimes wrong. We interpret things not the way that a person meant. And so if we say, it sounds like you said this, many times they'll say something back such as, kind of, but what I really meant was this. So really helpful for just having more effective conversations instead of just both beating your heads against the wall.
Yeah. Seek first to understand and be understood. I remember that from, I think I learned that from Stephen Covey back in like the mid-90s, right? And it's been such a powerful thing. And I had a conversation recently with someone and they asked me about the immune system and viruses because I'm a physiologist. And I went on this detailed explanation of my understanding of the immune system and the acquired immune system and the innate immune system. And I explained it in great detail. It took me like 5 minutes. And then to their credit, listened to the entire thing that I said and then said their thoughts on some things related to viruses. And I realized that they actually weren't listening to me at all. They were just looking to tell me what they thought about viruses these days and different theories about how the immune system works. So it's really interesting because at that moment I was like, this conversation's over with, because obviously we're not actually having a conversation. You're just trying to tell me what you think. But what I could have done in that case was to ask some clarifying questions to get better perspectives on what were they actually truly looking for. And were they looking for a sounding board for their ideas, or were they actually curious about filling in a gap of their knowledge given my expertise? So I could have probably done a better job of managing that by seeking first to understand, then be understood, right?
Definitely. It's always helpful. And I love the way that you took some level of responsibility there too, because even though it sounded like, yeah, they weren't really listening, very, very important for us to always take some level of responsibility and say, yeah, okay, they didn't listen. They were just kind of waiting for me to finish, but I could have done this better. How could I have maybe explained myself differently? Or as you said, ask more questions so that the conversation is more effective. I absolutely love that. I want to commend you for that because, Greg, very few people take responsibility in these types of situations. It's amazing. Absolutely. The questions are great. Open-ended questions. What are your thoughts on that? What type of answer are you looking for when you ask that question? Things like that make a huge difference.
How do we cultivate a sense of curiosity in conversation and in communication?
It's a very similar quote, actually, to what you said about curiosity, which is be interested before trying to be interesting. I think I was paraphrasing even that quote a bit.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but I think everyone gets the gist. So I always try to actually go into a conversation and ask as many questions as possible. I'm still a bit of an introvert at heart, even though I've trained myself to adapt in today's world. But seeking to learn as much as you can about the other person and approaching conversations with, there's probably something I can learn here, even if it doesn't seem like it. That actually completely changed my life. You'd be surprised how much that you can learn and how smart or how insightful certain people can be if you ask the right types of questions. Talking about yourself, do you really gain anything in a lot of these interactions? Perhaps if you're on a sales call, you need to eventually, after asking questions, tell them about what you do. But in most of our interactions, think about it this way. Are you gaining more potentially from asking questions and learning? Or are you gaining more by just hearing yourself talk? Yeah, it feels good. Feeds our ego. We love it. But does that actually get you further ahead? So approaching it like that, how can I learn something from this person? I want to be the one asking more questions. That's made a massive impact on my life. And especially if you don't feel like talking, you feel like you don't have any good stories, that's fine. You actually don't need to have any. People will enjoy conversing with you so much if you just ask them questions.
Interesting. What can we do now in an era of shortening attention spans and bite-sized nuggets of dopamine-inducing content to convey complex ideas and have communication that is deep and meaningful and powerful and explorative in an era when it seems like we're just skipping rocks across the surface of the volume of information that's coming at us? Is there anything that we can do to help go deeper, to build stronger relationships, to learn more, and to explore ideas better when we're working with other people?
such a good question because our attention spans are shorter than ever. Even my social media videos, right? I talk faster. There's quick cuts. I always tell people, don't speak like how you hear me speak on Instagram, right? Because there's every pause is cut out because you have to keep attention spans, whereas pausing in a real conversation is great. Allows people the chance to absorb the information. So one thing is to try to be more clear and concise. This is particularly important now because if we talk for too long at a time, people will just, whether they're trying to or not, zone out. And then it doesn't even matter if we're saying the most insightful, meaningful thing in the world. They're not going to absorb it or take it in. So I teach a couple frameworks. I'll just give the really high-level overviews of them that are the most helpful. So the first one, let's say for talking about a challenge, is what, so what, now what? So what being, here's what the problem is, or here's what the challenge is, here's what the situation is. So what is, why is this important? Why does this matter? Why should you care? Now what is, here's some suggestions or some next steps that we could consider. Instead of just going on and on about this problem, we're complaining, the other person doesn't want to hear it, it sounds negative, which a lot of people just give the what. That's just saying the problem. But if you say what, here's the problem, so what, here's why it's important, now what, here's what we could consider moving forward. Having structures and frameworks for communication like that really go a long way in helping people first listen for long enough so that they actually take in what you're saying and help you move forward and find more solutions to some of these higher level challenges.
Even though Serena Williams has a coach and the best in the world at what they do, they all have coaches. And so when it comes to communication, people go to you. I'm curious though, what are you working on with your communication? What is your practice right now? What are you thinking about? What's the next level for you to achieve? And how are you trying to get there in the way that you communicate and practice communication?
Definitely. It's a very good question. There's always so much more to learn. I'm always trying to find more frameworks like what, so what, now what, too, just to help people have these structures to stay within.
Right.
Without structures like that, without some sort of guidelines to stay within, it's too easy to just ramble on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so for me, particularly, I'm trying to find ways to be even more engaging, capture more attention when I speak so that I have more people into my ecosystem to listen to me, to learn. Because ultimately, if I'm sharing all of these tips online and doing these coaching sessions, these trainings, making all this content, but there's not enough people actually seeing it for me to make the impact that I want, that's on me. I need to get more eyes on me because the goal here is really just to help as many people as possible feel more comfortable, more confident, speak more clearly so that they can get the results they want personally and professionally. So I need to find ways to broaden my reach and I think capture attention even better than I do now.
That's great. And I hope that this podcast helps shift that in just a slightly positive direction for a few people that hear you and want to start practicing what you're talking about. If people want to connect with you and learn more, where can they go online to do so?
Yeah, definitely. LinkedIn and Instagram are the two that I use the most. So my username is just my full name, Ty Hosgen, T-Y-H-O-E-S-G-E-N. So I post videos on there, posts on there almost every day. I say almost every day because, you know, sometimes I slip up and miss a day. Total transparency, not perfect. But yeah, LinkedIn and Instagram.
We'll give you a pass.
Yeah, LinkedIn and Instagram are the two main ones. And actually, I'll give away a free little training to everyone listening too, as a thank you for listening. So I have a course on video calls. It's called 5 Science-Backed Video Call Secrets Every Professional Needs to Know. So just 5 quick tips over 5 days, little videos there for you to watch and learn all about how to show up as your best self on those Zoom calls, those Microsoft Teams calls. So you're confident, you're getting respect, you're connecting with others and trying to essentially replicate a real life connection over video. So that's on videocallstar.com.
Because we're still having these video calls. And in some cases, it's a good thing like this call that we're having right now. So Ty, thank you so much for joining us. really appreciate you taking the time to help out my audience. And I really appreciate your expertise and your commitment to being here for us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. You asked excellent questions. Really appreciate that. Pleasure to be on here.